Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator and sustainer of the universe, who loves us and guides us and invites us, commands us, and reminds us to keep the Sabbath sacred. This Wednesday, I did something that's really quite hard for me. I stopped and I took a day off. Now, this might sound funny to you that it would be hard to rest or to take a day off, but if you've been around at all, you'll know it's been a kind of a busy time in the life of the Garden Church, and this Garden Church pastor is pretty good at working long, long hours and doing all the things that need to be done. She's not so good at resting. But it's actually a really important part of this work, and of the work of this community, is to remember that we need to be part of the ebb and flow and the cycles and to rest. So if I expect all of you to come and practice the spiritual principle of Sabbath, of rest, I probably better be doing it myself. So I take Wednesdays off because Sunday is kind of a busy day in my business. I take Wednesdays off and create some structure around what it means to rest. And part of my rules are that I turn off email and work, turn off social media, don't have anything scheduled, and then I try to do something life-giving. Now, sometimes all I can do that's life-giving is curl up on the couch and watch Netflix. That's when we know it's been a tough week. But other weeks, there's a little more energy, and I can do quilting or go on a run or do an art project. So this week, I was very happy to get out the paints. There's been this painting that's been intriguing me. I have a couple copies of it to pass around. Would you be willing to pass those around to people? The same thing. So there's this painting that I came across a couple of years ago, and it's by a woman named Hildegard of Bingham. Now, Hildegard of Bingham was born in 1098, and she was a Renaissance woman before the Renaissance was a thing. She had prophetic visions. She was an herbalist. She was a preacher. She was a writer. She was an artist. She was a musician. She was a composer. She was this amazing woman of faith and creativity and a prophetic voice in the world. And this piece has captured my attention, partially because, well, what do you notice about it? It's gardening, right. I'm a little obsessed with gardening. It also has this tree of life, which is our icon, our image, this image we keep going back to. Then it also has some cycles and seasons going on in it. So I decided to start playing with it. I'm not an art critic. I can't tell you much of anything officially about it, but I'm a theologian, right? So I look at it and I say, well, what's the message of God in this? So I started to play and I sketched it out. And I noticed something. The first thing I noticed, which I hadn't noticed before, I've been looking at this painting on and off for the last couple of years. It kind of comes through my life, but I hadn't really sat down and studied it. And the first thing I noticed was that the trees are in different stages. Some of them are bare. Some of them are just leafing out. Others have fruit on them. There's a cycle. There's a season going around. And I love that the whole piece, you know, it's very circular, right? What's top? What's bottom? I kept having to, like, recount. Where does this tree go? Because you can look at it from any perspective. So that was the first thing I noticed, that there's a cycle involved. Then the next thing I decided, I'm not very good at drawing figures, so I was like, okay, we need another art medium. So I got out my paper and took the image and blew it up on the photocopier and started cutting them out. So I'm looking at each different figure. Well, I hadn't noticed this before either. Some of them are working in the garden. I've got something that looks kind of like some kind of implement. One of them is playing an instrument. Another had a basket. But then one of them is just leaning back against a tree. And another is flat out lying down, fast asleep. And I found that very interesting. That within this garden, within this cycle, within all of this life and harvest and abundance, that there were different roles and that people were resting. So I started looking this a little bit more closely. And what it brought up for me, because again, I'm not an art critic, I'm a theologian, is the importance of rest. And it reminded me of the scripture that the Bible starts off in the very beginning of the creation story. Let's see if that wants to sit there or not, or blow away. At the very beginning of the Bible, we have this creation story. And there's 7 days of things being created, of work being done. And the seventh day is a day that God rests. And so woven into the very fabric of creation, the very fabric of what it is to be alive and to be engaged in this thing that we know as the world, is this stage of rest. And then a little bit farther on, in the book of Exodus, we have the Ten Commandments. Moses on the mountaintop gets these Ten Commandments, these ten words, these ten, you might call them rules, but I like to think of them as their direction for life. Like these are ways that you can live. So along with do not steal, do not lie, do not commit adultery, honor your father and mother, there's this command to keep the Sabbath holy. And it has the most text around it. It says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath for God. Do not work that day, neither you, nor your daughter, nor your son, nor your workers, women or men, nor your animals, nor the foreigner that lives among you. For in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that they hold, but rested on the seventh day. This is why God has blessed the Sabbath and made it sacred. So there's something about rest, about renewal, about engaging that place of ebb and flow that's so important to our Creator that it's in the fabric of these, of creation and the fabric of these 10 words that we can live by. And it's this core principle, this idea of rest, that we strive to embody here at church. Sabbath has been practiced on different days and different traditions. In the Christian tradition, we usually think of that as Sunday. And often I think we can think of honoring the Sabbath as just, oh, well, I went to church and back. Okay, cross that off the list. But there's much more of a core principle there. And Jesus kind of gets at it in the scripture text today. So now remember, when Jesus was on earth, he was part of the Jewish tradition. And they had the Ten Commandments, but they also had 600 plus other rules that went around all of these things. So there are a lot of extra rules about Sabbath. You can't kindle a fire. You can't, if your cow falls into a hole, you can't get it out. You can't heal. There's all these things you can't do. And I think this is indicative of humankind, right? We try to hold a principle and we put all these rules around it. And there's nothing wrong with that on one hand. Like, I have rules for myself on Sabbath. I really try not to check Facebook because that distracts me from resting. There's some holding, some containers. But we also can get to the point where it's all about the rules and following the rules properly. And that if we follow the rules properly, then we're okay. And I think this is what Jesus is getting at in this story that we heard, that Karen read from the Gospel of Mark. So Jesus and the disciples are walking along and they're going through the grain fields and they're hungry. And so they've started picking grain. Well, this was not okay according to the rules. And so some people got upset. What are you doing picking grain on the Sabbath? This is not okay. And Jesus gives us this so typical Jesus. Gets to the core of it and says, you know, it's not about all these external rules. What's the core? And he said, the Sabbath is made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. That Sabbath is actually a gift to us as humans. It's woven into the fabric of creation. It's part of God's plan. And that Jesus is bringing us back to, it's not about the rules, it's about how we engage it. So they were hungry. So they fed each other on the Sabbath. And then this person came along with a withered hand and against the rules keeping of the time, he had the person reach out their hand and it was healed. He healed on the Sabbath. I like to think that Jesus would be on board with what we're doing here, that we're feeding each other, we're working, we're worshiping, we're eating, we're engaging that core principle of what does it mean to be life-giving to each other? What does it mean to be engaging God's love in the world? What does it mean to be resting in that knowledge that the Sabbath was made for us as a gift for us? on Wednesday when I was taking Sabbath, I had a phone call with a good friend. And she's somebody who, for as long as I have known her, has been very careful not to be one of those people who always says, I'm so stressed out. I'm so stressed out. She's like, I have a full life, but it's beautiful. I have my children to take care of. I have my job. But she's always been committed to not being stressed out. And we had this conversation because she shared with her, she said, you know what? I'm actually too busy right now. And she said, I'm not saying that as a badge of honor. I'm saying I'm actually, my life is a little bit out of whack and out of control. And we talked about this idea of our worth being determined by our work, or this thing that we say when somebody asks, how are you? And we say, well, I'm so busy and I'm so stressed out. And we somehow expect to get accolades for that, or that's how we gain that sense of accomplishment. I think as a society, and I know I certainly get caught in this, that we've built up these rules, these cultural norms, and our worth comes linked to our work or our production or getting good grades or making sure that we have everything lined up just perfectly or that it's all organized or that the things line up. And those things are all fine and good. We all need to do these things in the world, right? But it's actually not what our worth is determined by. When Jesus said the Sabbath is made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath, I believe that this is this message that we are loved not because of what we do or what we accomplish, how we look, or whether we've followed the right codes and done it the right way, but we're loved because we were created by a loving God who's constantly reaching out to connect to us and urging and pressing to be received. And so I wonder if here in this community we can be a place where we remind each other of that. We remind each other that we are created in the image of God and that we are worthy and blessed and held and loved because of the nature of our creation. And I wonder if when we walk through those gates and we ask each other, how's it going? If I said, you know, I took 3 hours yesterday afternoon and I went on a long walk on the beach. If one of you would say, praise God, that's awesome. That is living the spiritual life. And I wonder if another week, if I said, you know, I worked another 15-hour day and that's what needed to happen, we could say, okay, that's part of the cycle as well. If we could be a place where we could see the bigger picture, where we could see that all of us are doing these different parts and these different pieces, and that all of us are intricate human beings living in this ebb and flow and the cycle, and that we're making time to listen and to rest. Because I believe it's when we rest, when we slow down, when we stop, when we go on that run, or sit by the beach, or take a nap, or come to worship, that's when we can remember to be open to hearing that still small voice. Samuel was asleep when God called. He was resting. There was quiet. And in that, there was space to hear God's voice. So may we as a community be a place where we can see the divine in each other as created beings of God, and where we can come together to be reminded to listen, to rest, and to feel God's love. Amen.